Hello and welcome to All You Ever Wanted to Know. I am Jordan Patsbold. It's the last Friday of the month, which means we have another edition of Heart to Heart with David Disty. David, it's great to have you back with us. How are you doing this fine day?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Jordan?
Doing good. Getting a little stressed, though. I take a look at the calendar, and my goodness, we're right around that 1 month until it's supposed to be the happiest time of year.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be the happiest time of year.
Stressfulest time of year.
That's a little bit more like it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure my circumstances aren't very different than a lot of people. Christmas, oh my, the holidays, it just becomes so busy. And to get it all ready, it kind of takes away from what, Christians believe the season is supposed to be all about. But this goes hand in hand with what we're going to talk about today around the holidays, how it can really weigh us down mentally.
Yeah, there's such an excitement and joy around it as kids often, and then we grow up and there's so much stress, there's so much stuff to do, there's so many burdens and memories, and it can weigh us down sometimes and take away from that joy that we would like to be experiencing during this time of year.
Well, and it also can put a lot of strain on a relationship, a family relationship, a husband and a wife. Okay, whose family are we going to get to see this Christmas day? Okay, who has to get pushed to a couple days? Just weighing all of that.
And then you build into it. You've got different families. So you've got husband's family, you've got the wife's family, and then if you're a blended family, well, you've got more grandparents and more extended family to weigh in there. So who gets which day and how can you make it work? There's a lot to juggle.
It was interesting because I can recall actually doing premarital counseling, and the pastor who did the service for us, he said, we're going to talk a bit about holidays. And we're like, oh, interesting. And he went on to explain, hey, you're going to find out quickly how stressful this can be. You might have, unfortunately, some of your biggest fights possibly around what comes around this time of year.
Absolutely. I remember early in our marriage, Crystal and I, we found out every time we went on vacation is the day or two before we start getting into fights and we're like, what's going on? So we've learned to recognize it when we're getting up to that point. So that's a stressful time. Mm-hmm. So for anybody going through getting ready for this particularly stressful time, recognize it and say, okay, this isn't about my spouse and how much of a jerk they're being, but it's about we're so stressed. We've got all this stuff that we're trying to deal with. Let's focus on the stuff instead of the person.
Mm.
If we focus on the issue rather than the fight that we're having, the feelings that we're having, then you can get things done a whole lot better.
And that's, I think, so huge because, yeah, it's a good point. It's not necessarily that the spouses are upset at each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's the situation. So there's a chance there to unite and tackling it on together.
Absolutely. I often talk with people about don't fight about the thing. If it's one of these things that comes up all the time, like finances or holidays or in-laws or something like that, put off the fight about that thing and just focus on what's behind it for you. So if it's finances, look about what does money mean to you as an individual? And then you can look at the budget after that.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the holidays. What does it mean to you? What's the important stuff to you? Let's figure out what you really need to have happened during that time. For one person, I might be, oh man, I just have to have the meal just right. And for another person, it might mean I have to get the right present for that person. And so what is that really stressing you? And then look at that thing rather than whatever it is that you end up fighting about.
Well, sharing the load, I know, is sometimes huge in a lot of ways as well. Just being able to plan far enough ahead of time. Okay, this is what so-and-so is going to be responsible for. And I know sometimes in the chaos, that can be some of the most stressful thing. It's both people either doing the same thing or someone assuming the other was going to do it, the same person thinking the exact same thing, and then it doesn't get down at all. Communication, it's huge.
Yeah, and even the planning ahead is one of those things that we kind of have to look at. Does one person want it to be a really planned event, or does another person want it to be kind of a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants event? Because there's huge stress. If one person has to plan every detail and the other person is just relax, it can take away from it for both people. So what needs to be planned? What do you need planned in order to feel good about this time? What do you need to just kind of let loose on? So kind of approaching things from your partner's perspective. So if your partner needs more planning, then do more planning. If your partner needs more freedom, do more freedom.
It's about that leeway and compromise to what happens 1 year. Well, maybe we need to switch it up the following year.
Yep.
And that goes hand in hand with, well, you have the two families, if you will, often that it kind of comes into fold. Okay, well, this year, there's this opportunity that has presented itself, but, you know, we did that last year. Let's flip it around this year and do it this way. Kind of that bouncing back and forth.
Yeah, that can work great for a lot of people.
If people are different in that way.
Yeah. Yeah, if you can make that work, great. Go for it.
Again, it's All You Ever Wanted to Know, Heart to Heart with David Disty. Now, in terms of other family conflict, I know sometimes it's just, it's amazing how there's family members that are feuding, and then oftentimes it's the conversation, oh, well, can you ask so-and-so, rather than asking people directly. That also in itself can weigh that level of stress and worry and anxiety when it's really supposed to be about being together.
Yeah, so often we get into these places where we're having that family conflict, and the only time we see each other is at Christmas or another event. And it's like, well, we want this event to be good, but it's the only time I see this person I have conflict with, so I'm going to be around the person I don't like. So how do I balance that? I want a good time. I want to have a good Christmas, but I also have to be around this other person. So yeah, how you deal with that conflict is so important. There's some different things that you can do about that. So learning how to manage your own emotions is a big piece of that. Mm-hmm. So often we go into a situation and we're thinking ahead of time, this is gonna be so bad, I'm so stressed out. And then sure enough, we're thinking about being stressed and we get stressed. We're thinking about how bad the conflict's gonna be, and then the conflict's bad. Kind of how we predict it will be ends up often being true. So if we look at it as, hey, you know what? It could be bad or it could be okay. Well, kind of leave it open.
Mm.
You could be surprised. You haven't seen this person in maybe the last year or two, so who knows what they're like now.
Right. And also with the extended family gathering, sometimes if there is that worry or anxiety, hey, it's what we tell we kids on the playground. If it can be helped, ignore that person. There's lots of other kids there. Try and do your best. If you really think something may happen have yourself a conversation with other people on the other side of the room or the house or whatever it may be. There's lots of potential there, rather than just ignoring a get-together altogether, as an example.
Mm-hmm. So ahead of time, you can plan your escape route, your kind of social escape route. So I'm going to go and be busy in the kitchen. Oh, wait, that's where the person is. I'm going to go and be busy doing this thing. Or I haven't seen Bob in a long time. Let's go talk to Bob or whoever it is. So your escape route. So there's a task you can focus on, or there's another conversation you can focus on. Or if you need to, just make it a short visit. If it doesn't have to be a long thing, make it, well, if you can get away with an hour, do that. So whatever you need in order to say, I'm going to be here, and if things go south, I have things I can do. I can go and do this other thing. I can go and talk with Fred in the garage, or I can go and work with Susan in the whatever.
Yeah. Confronting previous issues, probably not the best place at Christmas.
Not the best time. Might want to do that before or after, but not maybe at the big dinner or something.
Exactly. Mm. A very good point. Now, Christmas as well, just in general, it can have so much else that adds to just the heaviness of the season. As an example, anyone who maybe has lost a loved one, this kind of works twofold. It might be coming up to the special time of year and the realization, and it hits someone that, oh man, this is going to be the first one without maybe it's grandma, maybe it's auntie, anyone like that, I guess.
Yeah, any kind of anniversary or big event is a big trigger for grief. The grief will come back in ways. I like talking about grief as kind of a volcano. You don't know when it's going to come or what it's going to look like, and it comes and goes, and it's a good thing, though. Volcanoes cause a lot of destruction, but they cause a lot of new things, too. Mm. The whole state of Hawaii wouldn't exist if it weren't for those volcanoes. So there's good stuff that comes out of it. Prepare yourself. This is a tough time. What do you need to do to take care of yourself? What do you need to do to grieve? So this happens at Christmas, Father's Day, Mother's Day, Valentine's Day, birthdays, anniversaries of the death, all sorts of times throughout the year. And sometimes we don't notice it. We might feel extra grouchy and then realize afterwards, oh, wait, that was the loved one's birthday, or it's because this is the first Christmas without that person.
Right.
So giving yourself and other people extra grace around that is an important piece that, you know what, they're dealing with this grief and it's normal. It's expected for them to deal with it like this.
Well, and it's unfortunate that we feel embarrassed if we react, if you will, in an open setting of maybe a family gathering or of any kind of function, or not even that, but just anywhere grief can hit someone. It's a real bummer that people, they feel that embarrassment that this is how they've reacted to the situation. But hey, in all honesty, if it is a family gathering as example, well, what better of a place, just because
absolutely
there's lots of people with those shared experiences, rather than trying to duck and hide and you know, being afraid of showing a bit of emotion, why not share that sadness, if you will, with others? Because, well, they probably miss that loved one there too. Maybe there can be something that started from there in terms of people being able to share their memories of the loved ones who now aren't there.
Yeah, if you can plan ahead as a family to, we're going to take this time to remember whoever it is, then yeah, you can grieve together. And the death of a loved one is just one type of grief that can come up as well. It could be a child moving away. If this is your first empty nest Christmas, that's a big one. So how do you plan to make that grief an important part of it? And there's unseen losses that happen as well. So things like a miscarriage. How do you, as a couple, maybe deal with the miscarriage or another loss that nobody else knows about at this tough time? So that's where knowing that the grief is coming ahead of time, planning on how to deal with it together is so important as a couple, or if it's just you, how do you do it yourself, or who do you gather around yourself, because you don't need to do it alone?
Well, and two, it comes into the unfortunate thing that happens sometimes is someone passes away right around Christmas. That in itself, because then it will rear itself around every single year around this time of year. I guess, again, not very different from any other unfortunate thing that may have happened at any other time of year. But there is that added heaviness that can sometimes come with it.
Yeah, there's always extra layers. So like we're talking about all the different anniversaries, sometimes they pile up on each other. So yeah, it can be someone was born on Christmas and now this is the first Christmas without them, or something like that. Something that we always remembered, something that maybe that person made Christmas a special time. Now, how do you fill that void? I like to talk about grief too as not saying goodbye, but learning how to say hello differently. So this Christmas isn't going to be like the last one. It never will be the same, but how do you make it different? How do you remember that person differently through the new time that you're in, through this space of loss? So how do you fill that void in a different way? That's a big piece of grief.
For sure. It's All You Ever Wanted to Know and Heart to Heart with David Disty. We'll take a break. But again, talking about the holidays, some of the stress that can come along with them in many different forms. This is our conversation for today. We'll take a quick break, but more with David and myself in a moment on The Rock 98.5. And welcome back to All You Ever Wanted to Know, Heart to Heart with David Disty. We're getting set to enter the month of December, and along with that, a lot of stress comes with what's supposed to be a wonderful time of year. And that's where it's such a bummer that this is what Christmas has become. Hey, David, again, it's supposed to be such a wondrous time with family, with friends, the people that are closest to you. And yet for so many different reasons, it's become such a hardship on a lot of people. And in part, it's the commercialization that this time of year has become.
Yeah, a lot of people feel so much stress to make it everything that somebody could dream of, to make it that big thing with all the right presents, all the huge decorations, everything looking spotless and perfect.
What
and
Hollywood has depicted Christmas as being.
Yeah.
Well, last I checked, they don't even have snow out there, so how true can they get it?
Indeed. They've got styrofoam snow in Hollywood, and that's it. But yeah, how do we match up with what we feel we're expected to do? We can't really match up with that. And so, yeah, that's a big stress for people.
It really is, and in terms of many different things, the decorations, the presents, how many, oh man, Sally Susie down the street, they're getting their kids, each of them, 3, 4, 5 gifts. I only think I could maybe even handle one just because of what things are like financially for a family.
Yeah, so the stresses, whether it be decorations or presents or the meal or the house or whatever, it's can get overwhelming. And it's not even what's important about Christmas. It's not what makes it so good. Like, so often I talk with parents who are worried about getting the right gift for their two-year-old. Well, I got to get him this tablet or something. And really, does that two-year-old need something that big or expensive? And even as they grow up, does that 16-year-old need something big and expensive? Do they just need some time with you? So even like when you talk with people about the five love languages, for those of you that haven't heard about the five love languages, there's gifts, time, physical touch, words of affirmation, and help. So how do you say I love you to somebody? Even if their love language is gifts, it's not about the price tag usually. A person usually doesn't care about the price tag, but about the thought that goes into it. Mm. So how do you make it a special thing even without that big price tag? So that's a big thing. How do you communicate love at this time without a huge price tag, without a huge amount of stress? Whether it be just time, sitting down and watching one of those cheesy movies that I really don't like, but spending time with the loved
time.
Ones. Absolutely.
Right. No, you make a great point. For some people, it can come down to the thoughtfulness behind a gift. For others, well, my wife and myself, I don't know if, since the first birthday that we were just boyfriend, girlfriend back at the time, ever since that point, and then since getting married, it's like, you know, gifts aren't the way that we're going to do it. So we just decided together. Hey, let's put in the effort for others that may appreciate those sorts of things and save the other languages like you've alluded to. Let's have some time together because in this chaos of the season, sometimes it feels like you haven't seen your loved one in forever because they've been busy getting the kids ready for their school or Sunday school concert or getting them to this event or this event or Christmas parties, which no. the other person has to stay behind and watch the kids. So you go out, you have a good time because we can't find a babysitter.
It's hard enough to carve out time for each other in the other 11 months of the year, let alone at Christmas time when you've got all these other events that are supposed to be going on. So yeah, how do you do that? How do you make that happen? It takes a lot of creativity.
Words of affirmation, just simply letting that person know, hey, I see all the time and effort you're putting into this.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Hey, it doesn't feel like it right now, but it will pay off and it's going to feel marvelous when it does.
Yeah. And words of affirmation, how many different ways can you compliment your partner or your children? So I really appreciate this about you. I think this is amazing about you. Thank you so much for this. It takes a lot of creativity. So it's not just, I love you. That's great and that's important, but there's more to it as well. So how many different ways and how often can you say I love you in different ways?
Yeah.
That's a big challenge for a lot of people.
Well, and I think as well, for some where the money just isn't there, they're all, like we alluded to, the other 11 months of the year are stressful in themselves, trying to make ends meet, and then you throw this on top of it all.
Yeah.
It literally becomes too much.
Yeah.
And it's such a worry because trying to make it all work. The nice thing is, I know in many parts of Saskatchewan, including Yorkton, there are those programs through Salvation Army, Soup Haven. They're really there to lend a hand, if you will. If you still want to have some form of Christmas celebration. Others, they'll just choose to, well, no, that's just not our thing. We just won't. But others that want to know that there is help in place to help make sure it doesn't take a huge pinch, which is going to hurt you until February, March, April kind of thing just by going a little crazy around this time of year.
Yeah, no need to spread that stress out into February, March, April as well. Keep it low key. I always talk with people about what's the motivation behind the stress? What's the motivation behind what's causing you difficulty? So this difficulty, the stress or whatever's going on in your life isn't helpful. We don't want that there, but it's there for a reason. It's there. It's driven by something, a deeper yearning. So with the decorations, with all the gifts, with all that stuff, what's behind it? It's a sense of a need to be respected. It's a sense of a need to be loved or cherished. Well, if it's one of those things or something else, how do you give voice to those deeper yearnings in a way that isn't stressful? So if you're looking for some appreciation, maybe getting that huge gift isn't the way to do it.
Yeah.
How else can you get that appreciation? By building a deep relationship. That's a huge one.
Well, and so often it seems as someone gets older and older, the reliance on, you know, what it is about Christmas that makes them fill them with the most joy. It's not the presents. It's not the huge plates of food. More often than not, it's that time. It's the time that the holiday can bring with those hopefully days off of work. 'Cause yeah.
And it's even for kids with the gifts, it's not about the big gifts. It's about the excitement, the anticipation.
Mm-hmm.
So like we've got a little advent calendar where every day you open it up and there's some little thing in there, whether it be a piece of Lego. It's like, wow, what can I build with this piece of Lego? It's a 10-cent item in there, or maybe a couple of jelly beans or something, but the anticipation of opening up, I know tomorrow there's another box to open. This is so exciting. I don't know what it'll be. And it's something that I got at the bulk barn.
Exactly. It's definitely goes hand in hand with the thought that counts. And even for me, even last year, I would say my favorite gifts I got, it was the stuff I really truly needed. And yeah, I very well could have bought my very own socks well before December 25th, but I was more than pumped to see my stocking literally filled with about a dozen pair of socks, because they were literally socks that I needed. And the fact that I didn't have to go out and buy them myself, well, all the more merry I was, because there it was. It was stuff I actually needed rather than stuff I wanted.
And I think that's a good point to look back. And if you can think back about what was important, what did you cherish about previous Christmases, and do that for other people. So for me, looking back, I don't have a clue what I got for Christmas last year. I don't remember any of it. So that's really not an important piece to me. But I do remember going out and playing in the snow. I remember that we got to skate on a pond, and that was important to me. So what do you remember about previous Christmases, and how can you build that into future ones?
And for some, the dates on the calendar are such a huge factor, right? Like the December 25th, December 24th, right? For this is when this happens, this is when this happens. But unfortunately for others, I was just speaking about it a bit beforehand, the reality of a situation may settle in, and things like work, as much as a lot of stuff is closed on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, Boxing Day, there are lots of other people that are there having to work on those days when they'd much rather be with their family. That in itself causes a lot of anxiety for people.
Yeah, there's lots of places where you still have to have people working, whether it be public transit or hospitals or group homes or whatever. There's lots of people that have to keep on working. So how can you, again, we talked about focus on what's important about Christmas to you, and celebrate that. So if it's the time together, does it have to be the 25th? It'd be maybe ideal, but does it have to be? Is there a different time that you can do it? Rather, can you have Christmas supper on Boxing Day? So yeah, that flexibility is a big piece. I remember I had to work Christmas, it's been a while back, but yeah, working that one Christmas day, it was a shock that, you know what, I can't be with my family during Christmas Day. That's tough. So we move things around.
Yeah, and hopefully it can be overcome just in terms of really when it comes down to it, it really is just a day on that calendar, like 364 or 65 only pairs on the calendar in that regard. If the season really is all about getting that precious time together, then really, hopefully it doesn't matter all that much. Although granted to some, like we've talked about before, some people do have certain priorities that they want. And for some, it really does come down to those days on the calendar.
And if that's a priority for you, then find a way to make it work if you can. If that's a job that's getting in the way of something that's really important to you, is there a different route you can go employment-wise or something like that? And again, with couples, it's so important to look at the rituals that are behind, that are important to you. That's one of the big challenges for newly married couples, is finding out wow, we did Christmas one way in my house, you did Christmas a different way in your house, now we have to find out what's right for us. It's not that I'm going to be right or you're going to be right, or, but how do we make something new?
Yeah.
Like we talked about grief before, how do we say hello differently? And similarly, when we're building new traditions, how do we do this differently? How do we make a new way to go about things for us?
No, that's interesting. You're absolutely right. It'd be, there is a third one that kind of enters in there. Not just the way this family, then this family. What about this family right here, right between us? What are we going to do?
Absolutely. The new family that we're creating. And that's a tough thing, to break from the old and create something new. But that can be a really... powerful time for a new couple as well to make something that's just yours.
It's All You Ever Wanted to Know and Heart to Heart with David Disty. We're sorry if we're stressing you out talking about all the potential stressors, but just wanting to reach out and know that, hey, just so many of your peers likely encountering the same thing though too. I think that's what brings a lot of people a lot of comfort in knowing that it's a shared stress for a lot of people. What you're dealing with, likely you don't have to go very far down the street to find someone you know that is going through the very same thing. And often it's sharing those that can bring a lot of comfort. When you know you're going through all of this together with someone else. Yes, their situation is slightly different. But I had someone who talked about how they think Canada is a much more happier place than maybe some of the other places in the world, just because we all together have to go through this winter. Maybe not Vancouver and Victoria, but 99% of the rest of the country. We have that shared, button up and fasten ourselves up for what we can encounter. And we have that shared experience together. And that alone can be a comfort.
Yeah, having a shared experience is an important piece for any family, any couple, any group of people. To focus as a couple and look at how do we do this together? What is the new us that we're going to create? How do we create this new thing, this new couple, these with new rituals, new values? That's an important piece.
And just finding out what worked for your friends. How did you get through this? It just doesn't go necessarily with planning the Christmas, but just dealing with the stress, the loss of loved ones, like we've talked about too. Just have those conversations with people, because there's a lot of comfort in knowing that, hey, you're very good friend. I know exactly what you're going through. I think it goes hand in hand with a lot of these mental health initiatives that have been seen. It's about removing that stigma, letting people know you're the furthest thing from alone. What you're going through, so many others are.
Yeah, you're the furthest thing from alone. You don't have to try and keep up with the Joneses, because the Joneses are trying to keep up with you too. It just keeps on going round and round. If you try to keep up with others, then you're... I like the phrase, you're comparing your inside to someone else's outside. You're comparing apples and oranges, because what you see when you walk down the street is totally different than what that person is experiencing.
Right. Well, and even in that too, there might be people you look at, it's like, oh, they, I admire the way they have blank figured out. And then you talk to that person and they're like, oh man, I really struggle with that.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I admire the way you, it's amazing how others can find out what someone else is what they really admire about that person and how they're able to handle something. And maybe it's something that's like, oh, wow, really? I think I really struggle at that particular thing, whether it's decorations or wrapping a present or anything like that. It's amazing how much can throw this season out of whack or in the craziness of it too.
Yeah, so that open communication is huge, to be able to talk with other people and to be able to talk with your family members too. What do you expect going forward in this season? Whatever season it is. So we're talking about Christmas, but it goes for any season. What do you expect when we're going into having our first child? What do you expect when we're going into empty nest? What do you expect when we're facing not being able to have children? What do you expect, no matter what phase we're entering, be it a season, of the year or season of life. What do you expect and what do you need? How can we make this work together?
Excellent. It's Heart to Heart with David Disty on All You Ever Wanted to Know on The Rock 98.5. We'll take a break, but more in just a moment on The Rock 98.5. And welcome back to All You Ever Wanted to Know, Heart to Heart with David Disty. And David, we've been talking a lot about the holidays and the stress, the anxiety, the grief that sometimes comes along with the holidays for just so many different factors. We've alluded to family conflict. We've alluded to stress. We've talked about loss of loved ones. It's the finances that seem to be drained so thin around this time of year. So all reasons why stress might be a burden on people during this time of year. And we were just talking during the last commercial break how, hey, there's even a lot of people out here that, hey, they wish family conflict could be a problem, but the reality is for them, there's the situation where they have no one around for them. And that in itself can create a lot of anxiety for someone that they have no one to celebrate the holidays with. That can leave quite the empty feeling.
Yeah, this season can be a time of stress for a lot of people and a time of loneliness for a lot of people as well. And we're talking about empty nest couples, but then people who don't, who feel like they don't have anyone, not even someone to be sad with. That's a really tough place to be in, to feel alone in a time that's meant to be about being together.
Yeah, like even the worry that some have about making that big family dinner. Well, then there's also that other person who, they would do anything to have a house full of people on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
But the reality is they're here maybe in Yorkton and or in a small outerlying community. And just the reality of the situation is there's no family around. All their friends have left town to go spend with their own families. They might be left all the and by themselves, and it just that in itself creates such a, it's supposed to be again a joyful time, but it's just not the reality for some.
So there's I feel like we could talk about all the resources that are out there, but I don't know if that will do it justice to the loneliness, the hopelessness that some people feel. I guess a piece of it is being proactive, that I know this time will be tough. It's almost December as you guys are hearing this, and it's going to get tougher as the weeks draw closer to Christmas. So begin looking at how can I reach out? Who is out there? So yeah, I don't have my family with me right now. My friends have gone away for Christmas like you're mentioning, but who is there? Who can you reach out to? Is there someone in your church community that you can reach out to? Is there some other place you can go to as you're getting ready for the holiday season? Is there a place you can go to begin learning how to deal with that loneliness, whether it be counseling or whether it be like the teen helpline, or 811 will connect you with any of those resources that you need as well. So yeah, when things, there's stuff you can do now to begin preparing yourself for the holidays and looking at different options that are out there.
Yeah, well, and that's the unfortunate reality is that whether it's loneliness, whether it's family conflict, whether it's the finances, whether it's any part of this time of year that just creates such a heavy burden on someone's health, that they need to put their hand up and just say, hey, I really do need help. And if there's worry that I don't really have anyone I can turn to, or so it feels like, that like you've alluded to, there's lots of supports that are in place that people can turn to get the help that they need, especially if things are getting to like some kind of dangerous level that, this is just so bad, I have no one, what's the point of me even being here? It's with that, yeah, definitely someone needs to get out and ask for the help that they so desperately need.
Absolutely.
But then there's also the responsibility that anyone can have listening, trying to think of those people that might be left all alone at Christmas. My wife was just thinking about a friend who is always ready to make fresh baking around this time of year and passes them off. But then it finally hit her, well, what? I wonder what she does actually on Christmas Day. And so she flat out asked this lady, and I said, not much, just stay at home, watch TV, don't really have anyone over. And it just hit my wife in such a way, wow. Well, we should do something about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, as a community, reach out to those around you that don't have somebody. And yeah, there's so many resources out there, and we need to be some of those resources too. In the mental health field, we talk about formal and informal supports. So we can be those informal supports, the people that just gather around together and say, you know what, I got another chair here, come on over.
Right, because there's definitely, more too often than not, plenty of food.
Yes, we're not worried about running out.
Well, David, it's been great to chat with you today on the program. Anything else we want to maybe do a quick rundown again of some of the things we talked about today?
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to ICBT. It's an Internet Cognitive Behavioral Therapy program. So you can go onto the U of R website, and they have online therapy user. I can't remember the exact website address, but yeah, go and look up the U of R online therapy user.
Oh, nice.
And so, yeah, you can go through counseling online. They've got a program set up there, and they do phone interviews to kind of help you through that online information. So go and work through that before you get to these tough times, or before things get harder. So yeah, you can begin working on how do I deal with these feelings, the thoughts that I'm having. And yeah, if you do have thoughts of suicide or harming yourself, then reach out, talk to your neighbor, call 811, call somebody. There's lots of resources out there for you.
There really is. Don't want to lose anyone, because oftentimes, yeah, it can happen, and then there's obviously a lot of heaviness that is left of what we could have done. And I think that still continues to this day, regardless when we lose someone as a result of their mental health, because they just feel like we hate losing those people and playing the what if game. So we need to act proactively in so many different forms, to all working together to help these people out, regardless of what their needs are or what is stressing them, particularly around this time of year.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, again, David, thanks so much. It's been great to chat. We'll chat again once before Christmas. And as always, thanks so much.
All right. Thank you very much, Jordan.
It's All You Ever Wanted to Know, Heart to Heart with David Disty. Again, with Disty Counseling Services, feel free to reach out to David too if you want to take it to that level as well in terms of getting help as well. 316-0101. Again, thanks so much, David. All the best.
Thank you, Jordan.
It's All You Ever Wanted to Know, Heart to Heart on The Rock 98.5. Until next time, have yourself a wonderful day and be blessed.